Good morning. Welcome to Grace of Christ on this first Sunday of what we call in the Christian calendar a season of Lent, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's stand together and lift our voices together as we do our call to worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good. Standing as you are able as we sing together our hymn of praise.
Please be seated. Beloved friends, in this season of repentance and healing, we accept God's invitation to be ever mindful of the needs of others, offering our prayers on behalf of God's community in the church and in the world. So let us come together as God's people and join together in prayer. Heavenly Father of the covenant, who turned the waters from a cause of death into a source of life, we praise you for our baptism received in Christ's name. You have given your Spirit to rest upon us and dwell within us so that we are empowered for your service. Truly in you, we live and move and have our being. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of our existence. By you we are ever sustained and upheld. Father, this morning we pray and ask for your mercy and grace for all those affected by the coronavirus, for their protection and strength, for the doctors and healthcare people who are faithfully working to find a cure and trying to help those and provide hope and healing. And we pray for wisdom for the leaders of all the nations in dealing with this. Father, our world today desperately needs your intervention and grace. And for us, Lord, we know that King David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So we ask that you help us with each step of our way to keep our faith secure in this uncertain time. And Heavenly Father, we bring before you also the needs of our government this morning. We ask you to bless our nation through godly leaders. We magnify the name of Jesus and declare that he is Lord over this nation, Father. And we pray for the members of the Senate and the House of Representatives and all the government leaders to find your peace, your direction, and for those men and women who act and lead according to your word. We know that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Therefore, we pray for them to be unified in your righteousness for the sake of the nation. Father, we pray for our valley this morning. We give you thanks for the beautiful, warm, sunny days and for the springtime flowers that are bursting forth. We pray that there will be enough water in the mountains for the crops in our valley. And Father, this morning we pray for those who are ill, who are faced with unsettling news, who are uncertain what the future holds for them, and for those who grieve the loss of a loved one. Surround them all with your embracing compassion and show us how we can care for them in their solitude and comfort them in their time of need. And Father, today we respond to the claim of the cross on our lives, the call to love one another, to be a part of one another no matter what our human condition. Help us to be inspired by your cloud of witnesses, those saints who surround us this morning in our time of prayer. Help us to keep focused on Jesus. Be with us as we throw off the obstacles of our lives that keep us from turning towards you. For we would be your servants and in your internal presence at your right hand. Father, this morning we thank you for the bread and the grape on the Lord's table. They remind us again of how Christ is the bread of our life and our cup of salvation. May the table remain the symbol of unity and the place where we can gather despite any differences we may have. May we go forth from the table to give bread to the hungry and hope to those who despair and bring comfort to whoever is anxious. Father, we lift all these prayers up to you this morning, both those spoken and those that remain on our hearts, as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
be seated. So glad that you chose to worship with us here this morning. It's the first Sunday of Lent. And just to remind us about Lent, it's that time, 40 days, they say, not counting Sundays, because on Sundays we celebrate the resurrection. But the other 40 days, it's a time for us to somehow strive to understand the suffering that Christ went through on our behalf, as he not only lived in this world, fully God and yet fully human, but as he then also faithfully and obediently humbled himself to death on the cross. And so it's a time that we then try to perhaps give up something to understand the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, or we take on something, maybe a spiritual discipline, in order to allow God to continue to form Christ within us. One of the ways that you can do that is by picking up a Lent devotion out in the center, a welcome center, Eyes on Jesus, to go along with our sermon series that we're entering into, donation of $3. So speaking about the welcome center, if you're a guest here, if you fill out our Connect card and go over to the welcome center, pick up a devotional, and then also pick up a little gift bag we have for you. And there is a coffee card for our espresso bar for you and your family. The rest of you, make certain you fill out the cards. Give us your prayer requests, your praises. And as a staff, we really do thoroughly enjoy interceding and lifting your thanksgiving on behalf of the church to our Lord. So if you would do that and put it in the offering plate later. We have a movie night this coming Thursday, 5:30 to 9 in the chapel. The movie is Overcomer. If you haven't seen it, it's a great opportunity to come and experience that life, that story, and invite a friend, somebody to come along and engage also. Then, also coming up, March 11th, a week from Wednesday, is our next family dinner. It's a potato bar night. The potatoes will be provided, but Melissa said at the first service, if you like to poke those potatoes with the fork, you can talk to her and help her out, because she's going to have to make, you know, quite a bit of potatoes. So come, but RSVP, let us know, fill out the card, or on the Connect card, let us know that you're coming. Also, are you ready? Daylight savings next weekend, so don't be late. If people are leaving the service as you're coming, just go to lunch with them and have a good time. But set your alarms, and maybe one of the ways you can remind yourself is with our new church app. So Deb Kent has been working on an app for your phone. If you're familiar with using a smartphone and you can download apps, we have a Grace of Christ app that you can download now and use it. It'll take you to our, it has a home tab for you. It has a on there also a tab that you can use, keep the for media, for videos, for sermons and stuff like that. It also has a tab that you can go to quickly and access. I'm trying to follow on there because I don't have my glasses on. The calendar tab. So you can go on there and click on the calendar to see what's going on. Now, I have to tell you, don't do all of this during the sermon, though. Okay? Don't go clicking on the tab and all those things on there. But it is a tab. Then we also have a tab on there for your Bible to read the Bible or have it read to you. There's an audible reading. You can put it in your car and listen to it. Here's the neat thing is that if you grabbed one of our life journals, every day there's a particular reading that the journal has you go through. And on this app are those readings. So you can just click on the Bible, listen to it while you're driving, and you've got the reading as you go through the Bible in a year, so you can use that. The real important one is the giving tab. You can do that in church, actually. Again, not during the sermon. You can't withdraw money either, because the sermon's bad. You can't go in there and say, you know what, I'd like to take back some of what I just gave. But you can give. You can set up a giving plan. You can give one time. We'll set up those. You've probably seen out there more high-tech people than I am that it says, you know, text this number and you can, you know, contribute a dollar amount to us. You know, if we have a campaign or we have a missionary or somebody, will have that available to you as well. There are notifications on there. It'll notify you if you're late to church. I send out the notifications, just so you know. But you don't have to be notified. But if you're in a women's Bible study and you want a notification of what's coming up, you can click that and say, notify me. And I've been getting notifications already. Staff, elders have downloaded it. Here's how you do it. With your iPhone, with the Apple App Store. If you have an Android, Google Store, however you get apps, if you get apps, just go there and search for Yakima Grace. Two words. Yakima Grace. You'll find it. It's beautiful. Deb has done a great job on it. And we're so excited. I'm already talking to people in the garden room who downloaded it during the sermon, and we're already playing on it. So, yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but all right. Yeah. Oh, tablet, right, yes. So anyway, you download apps. Clear, crystal clear? If not, talk to Deb, talk to staff, talk to somebody. Don't talk to me. I'll probably confuse you and get you lost. But it's a great tool for our church and hopefully for the community. If you let friends know, hey, we have a new app, and they can look and see and listen to sermons and all that stuff. So, all right. Is that everything then? Did I cover everything? It's always a danger to put me in charge of announcements here. All right. Then we are going to get ready for our joy of giving as we continue in our worship together and to be reminded of the fact that this table reminds us that Christ gave it all for us. And God simply requires us to give back our whole heart, soul, mind, and body. And as a part of letting go, of sacrificing, of understanding what Christ gave for us, we give a portion back to Him in our tithes and our offerings. So let's pray as the ushers come forward. Almighty God, we are so indeed grateful that You, out of love, sent Your Son. And out of obedience and faithfulness to You, He humbled Himself and became a servant and gave Himself for us on the cross. So it's as a result of Your first loving us that we now respond by loving You and giving to You just a portion of what we have, knowing that it all belongs to You, that it all comes from You. Use it now for Your kingdom, for Your church, and for Your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before you're seated, would you just turn to the folks around you and bless them in the love of Christ this morning? Bless you. Peace be with you. Peace of God be with you. I had to check real quick before I came up here. Wait, doxology, then me, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, it was like, just all of a sudden I had a second guess there. Morning. Lord bless you. Peace of God be with you.
Hi,
Wilma.
Aw,
thank you. You too. So I have to just let you know, as you're finding your way back to your seat, that Friday I was at a conference with some other pastors and leaders of churches from all over the place, and I had to boast about our 11 o'clock service to them. This is an awesome gathering of people and an awesome worship, and I am, what a joy and an honor to be a part of what goes on here in this place. And I boasted about our 9 o'clock too, but I don't think many churches can beat what we have at 11 o'clock. So it's great. And it's not just because of the organ or the hymns. It's because of you all and your hearts and the way that you honor God with your rich blessings of worship. So thank you for doing that, for coming together and being living stones that seek a living God. So thank you. We're going into a new sermon series. We're going to take a break from Galatians for a while. I don't know if we'll get back to it or when we'll get back to it, because I've been kind of looking down the road and looking at Easter and all that, and after Easter, and I have some other things that I'm sensing God calling us to, but we may get back to it in the summer or something. But for now, we're going to look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'm only going to be really paying attention to verse 1 this morning, and in the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking at verses 2 and 3. The sermon series is called Fix Your Eyes. It's talking about how we see God, how we train ourselves to look at things through the eyes of God, even through the eyes of Christ, how God sees us. But this morning, it's about where it is. Sometimes we might get distracted and we lose sight of who God is and what our purpose on earth is all about. So Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Almighty God, I am so grateful that out of love you came to us, gave us your Son, and I thank you that he was faithful and obedient to the cross. But I thank you, Lord, that through him we have been given new life, that we have been given the forgiveness of our sins, and that by your Holy Spirit you are continually transforming us and changing us, that Christ might be formed within us, that we indeed would bear the fruit that you desire, eternal fruit, lasting fruit in our lives as we run this race here on earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. So as I said, Lent is a time in which we focus on, pay attention to, probably more so than throughout the rest of the year, what Christ went through on our behalf, his sufferings, the weight of our sin upon him as he went to the cross. But I also believe it's a time for us to pay attention to that which weighs us down, as Hebrews 12 tells us. What is it that causes burden upon us and our life? And that it's a time for us to recognize and pay attention to even those temptations that might lure us to carry out the deeds of the flesh rather than living by the Spirit. And so I only have the one verse that I want to share with us for this morning and one point for you. And this is the point. Run the race with your eyes fixed on the finish line. Eternity, God's kingdom. There is where Christ has already gone as he completed his race here on earth and crossed into eternity, into his Father's kingdom. And he's preparing a place for us now so that when we enter and cross over that finish line, that we will be welcomed and received and hear the words of our Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But in the meantime, we have to run this race here on earth. So listen to the opening words of verse 1 that says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," therefore, okay, again, there's that telltale word, therefore. Again, we have to try to understand what the word therefore is there for. And what it is there for is to tell us about the cloud of witnesses that were referred to back in Hebrews chapter 11. There is a list there. You know the list. You've read the list. Maybe you've memorized part of the list of those who have already run the race here on earth and have crossed the finish line with their eyes on eternity. Many of them listed back there in Hebrews 11 were willing to leave behind what was comfortable in order that they might receive and possess a better future. Many experienced great suffering and hardships, but they were able to cross the finish line to enter into their Heavenly Father's kingdom because they knew that while living here on earth, they were merely passing through. They were foreigners, strangers, aliens on this earth. They lived, they ran this race of faith with their eyes on eternity, with their eyes on the finish line, because they knew they had a certain hope that there was a greater kingdom than on earth. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, "Our suffering is light and temporary and is producing for us an eternal glory that is greater than anything we can imagine." Light and temporary. Not that our difficulties aren't real, they aren't heavy, our burdens don't last forever. It's not as if we will overcome all of our burdens. We may not in this lifetime, but compared to eternity, it's just a blip. One translation says that the weight of this world does not compare to the weight of glory that we will receive in our eternal destination. Therefore, we put our hope not in the things of this world, not in the things that we can touch or smell or taste or see, not in the things that are temporary, not in the things that are tangible, but we fix our heart, our soul, our mind, our thoughts on the things that last forever, where God is preparing a place for us, where we will sit around that feast, that table that He is preparing for us. Like Abraham, who is listed back in Hebrews 11, who left everything to follow God, to go to a place that God would show him, who left home and family, who left that which was comfortable and familiar. So we too, as we run this race of faith, need to be willing to let go of whatever it is that's keeping us from pursuing God's call, to follow that race that He has marked out, put in front of us. We need to be willing to sacrifice, to let go, to leave behind that which is comfortable, that which is familiar, to fix our eyes on the finish line, trusting that God knows that what is to come is better than what has been or is even now. That we are preparing ourselves to enter a city, Hebrews 11 says, that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. Hebrews 12:1 goes on. And it tells us that we are to lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. The NIV says we are to throw off everything that hinders. you probably already know and are aware of, when he talks about laying aside, throwing off that which hinders, he's referring to the analogy of an athlete back in the Olympics of ancient Rome, who in order to excel, to run fast, to endure, and to finish strong, would take off all the clothing that would prohibit them from running well. Take off anything that would weigh them down. Take off anything that might be loosely hanging around them that would get entangled in their feet and cause them to trip and fall. So too in the Christian race of faith, it's about laying aside or removing anything that distracts us. To take off whatever it is that's weighing us down, that's keeping us from running this race with endurance and perseverance. That which burdens us, that which causes us to trip up and stumble and fall. Now, it's not as though we don't pay attention to our burdens. It's not that we don't recognize that life is hard and there are difficulties and it's not always going to be perfect. But it's being willing to take our eyes off of the problems and fix them back on Christ, the author, the perfecter of our faith. It's being willing to let go of the things of this world that tend to trip us up and weigh us down and distract us from running this race well, and instead fix our eyes on eternity, on the finish line. You see, Jesus ran the race as a human here on earth. And he crossed that finish line as he hung on the cross and he proclaimed, while all the weight of our sin was being placed upon him, as he cried out in that emptiness and that disconnection from his heavenly Father and said, "Why, God, have you forsaken me?" He crossed into eternity. He crossed over the finish line and proclaimed, "It is finished." You see, the battle has been fought and won. There's no more sin. There's no more death. There's no more difficulties and temptations that our Lord and Savior didn't go through himself. It is finished. And we have the opportunity, because of the resurrection, to put our hope in that which is eternal, not in that which is temporary. I was reminded this past week that someone years ago told me that sermon illustrations are like windows on a bus. And I took that to mean it kind of helps people stay engaged. You know, they say the attention span of most people is like, well, probably 3 minutes these days. So you put in a illustration, you put in an analogy, a story, something that will keep the people engaged. And as I was thinking about this message, I thought, but sometimes on a bus, and sometimes in life itself, there are too many windows that cause us to be so distracted that we lose sight of where we're going. That we get caught up with everything that's passing us by and we forget the final destination. And there are a lot of distractions in this world. If it's not the political season of presidential campaigns and debates and primaries, it's coronavirus. And we get filled with anxieties and anger. In your own life, it could be the burden of caring for someone who's sick, or it could be you yourself who's going through a physical time in your life that you feel hopeless, and it drains you, it weighs upon you, it's a burden to you. It could be your marriage, it could be your finances, it could be your employment. There are numerous things that tug at us and turn us away from running the race, that we put all our time, our energy, our bandwidth gets filled with everything that's going on in this world, that we lose sight of the finish line. And we lose hope in this world. And the enemy comes and then steals that abundant, joy-filled life that Christ not only came to give to us, but died for on our behalf. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that can cause anxiety and depression and anger and stress. And so where's the good news? There's hope. As we go on in Hebrews chapter 12 and continue on and look at it, there is hope in the midst of the words that Paul uses intentionally. And I believe Paul is the author of Hebrews. There's debate about that. But he says, since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside that which weighs us down. Let us run with perseverance the race set before us. You see, we each have an individual calling. God has put a race that's been marked out for each of us to run, and we need to be faithful and obedient to that and realize that my race is not going to look like your race. Your experiences are not going to be my experiences. That we all have unique things that we are going through. But here's the hope and the truth is that we don't have to do this alone. We should not, cannot run this race alone. And that's why I believe God created the church. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, you and the others who follow me, I will build my church. And Peter writes about it in his epistle about us as stones coming together, living stones being built together as a house of worship. Christ is the head of this church. But God calls us together to be living stones, to be His people, to encourage one another, to spur each other on. Hebrews 10 again, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Some people want to believe we're in the end days. Well, if we are, then it's crucial and important for us to come together and lean on one another, to encourage one another, to pray for each other, to spur one another on. We need to not only be here on Sunday mornings, but we need to be in life groups. We need to connect with other brothers and sisters throughout the week. We need to pray for one another. We need to serve the church and the community together. We need to go to family dinners together. Because we need each other to encourage each other, to support one another. So that's why Paul writes, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The only way we can run this race in this world, the only way that we can run well, that we can run feeling the Holy Spirit, you know, blowing into our sails, the only way that we can finish well and hear the words of our good Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant, is in community, is with one another. I love Eugene Peterson's book. It's entitled, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. The race is long. The race is hard. The race is we're all going to the finish line together. But if you're like me, you not only need people to be in your life who will cheer you on and encourage you and pat you on the back and say, attaboy, but you need people to pray for you. You need people to keep you on your toes. You need people to hold you accountable. You need someone in your life that you can trust and be vulnerable with, willing to share your burdens, willing to share the times in which you are tempted and lured to live in the shadows instead of the marvelous light of God. You need somebody who is willing to point out the obvious to you. But it's hard. We often don't want somebody to speak that to us. Watch this video. Maybe start it over.
Pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't...
Try to sleep in...
You're laughing at it because it really is a demonstration of communication between a man and a woman, and you've been there. But it really does get to the heart of the fact that sometimes there is stuff going on in our world, and everybody else is aware that we are going through a difficult time. There's are burdens in our lives, and they don't quite know how to come alongside of you without having to point out the obvious. And to try to want to help you get beyond and come alongside of you and be there for you. So how do we begin the process? I have three things I want to share with you about it. How do we lay aside that which weighs us down? How do we get beyond ourselves and no longer struggle with the guilt and the shame because of that one nagging sin, that nail in our head that just covers us with guilt and shame? How do we get beyond all of this? Now, what I'm going to share is for me. This is what works for me. It may not work for you, but hopefully maybe it'll trigger something for you. First, got to pay attention to the nail. Got to pay attention to what we're feeling, heart, soul, mind, and body. What is going on? What are the burdens? What are the symptoms that tell us something is not right? Are we anxious? Are we stressed out? Do we erupt with anger too quickly? Are we impatient? Do we get defensive when someone points out something in us that is offensive to them or not in line with the character of Christ? Is our demeanor sour? Are we constantly grumpy? Do we find ourselves withdrawing from people? Are we overly critical, even cynical, always negative and judgmental? Is there an unhealthy drive within us for success, to be better than the others? Or maybe the opposite, a spirit of lethargy, of withdrawing, of giving up. Maybe there's an uncontrollable thirst or hunger for foods and beverages that only numb the pain temporarily and lift our burdens for a moment. Perhaps there's too much attention being given to the internet or the wrong internet sites or even the wrong relationships. Whatever it is, there's likely something going on that's deeper and that God is wanting to point out and make you aware of that which is on the outside in order for you to bring him into the inside and to begin to cut away that which weighs you down, that which lures you into the shadows. So second, if we're aware of all this external behavior that's going on that we know is revealing something inside of us, to get to the root of us, we need to spend time with God. And I don't mean reading the Bible and then praying. I mean being still before God, being silent before God, listening to Him. Acknowledging your hurts, your pains, your burdens, your difficulties. Acknowledging, confessing that which you know is not right. But allowing Him to come in and show you the root cause of it. So that then the Holy Spirit can come and start cutting it away and pulling it out. And that the Holy Spirit can then start to breathe into you that which you need to run this race well, to give you patience and gentleness and kindness and peace and joy, forgiveness and grace and mercy. But also, in that silence that God might be able to reveal to you more wisdom of what is going on, a better understanding, to give you His perspective, to see your world through His eyes. And then, so we need to just spend time, as Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. To trust Him with it all. To not allow it to distract us from what He wants to do in our life internally. To not allow the burdens to take us out of the race. And the word be still and know that I'm God. Be still means to let go of your grip. Stop striving to take matters into your own hands and to control all things, even the outcome you want. But be able to let it go and trust God, lean upon God, that He will take everything. Jesus says, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, come to me. Trust me. Engage with me. Let me take that from you. And then let me give you rest. True rest. Heart, soul, mind, and body rest. That you so desperately need in this time. And then thirdly, it could mean that you do need to find somebody to talk to. Not just to vent, not just to unload, but to bring in as someone who can come alongside of you to pray for you, to listen to you, to discern with you what's going on, to help you take that nail out of your forehead, or to point you to somebody who can. It might be an individual, a friend. It might be a group of people that you trust, that will hold you accountable, that will intercede on your behalf, that will maybe carry you during this race. It might mean that you need a counselor, a professional, somebody that can help ask the tough questions and go a little deeper to peel away another layer. It might mean that you just need to sit today after church and be still, spend some time with the Lord, pray, have somebody pray with you, go to the prayer room before you leave here today. Allow God to start lifting those burdens, to removing your guilt and shame, and to start breathing new life and put wind in your sails once again. So we're going to do that just now as we get ready for communion. We're going to just check our heart, our soul, our mind, our body. Ask God to reveal to us maybe what we don't even know is going on. To show us the condition of our heart and our soul. And then if there's something you need to confess, give it to Him. Acknowledge it. Come. We're invited to come to this table. It's not a table of condemnation. It's a table of grace. It's a table where we can leave everything at the foot of the cross, knowing that God's grace is sufficient. Jesus came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. So we confess our sins, not as though they aren't nailed to the cross already, that they weren't taken into the tomb, that God hasn't already lifted them and washed them and made us clean and cast them away as far as the east is from the west, but just to continue to remind ourselves that we can't run this race alone. That we need the help, the grace, the strength, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. So spend time right now, examine your own heart, and then we continue to prepare ourselves to come and receive God's grace this morning. So Lord, we want to just quiet ourselves down. So Lord, whatever distracts us, whatever the worries are, whatever the concerns are, lift our head, lift our eyes, lift our heart and our soul, our mind to You now. And so, Lord, now we offer these prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. We gather around the Lord's table this morning to remember that Jesus Christ came to take our place on the cross and to pay our debt. So as you partake of the bread and the juice this morning, just pause to think how much God loves you. A few words of instruction about how we do communion here at Grace. The ushers will come up and dismiss you row by row. Come on up to the front. Pastor Bill or I will greet you. When you're served by one of the elders, return to your seats using the side aisle. There's tables at the sides for you to put the empty cup in. If you prefer to take communion where you're seated, just stay there and motion to one of our servers on the side aisles. They'd be glad to come and serve you right where you're at. As our tradition is here at Grace of Christ, we declare our affirmation of faith by reciting in unison the Apostles' Creed. So I would invite you all to stand as you are able, and we'll recite the Apostles' Creed as found in your bulletin or on the screens. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. And so imagine the night in which Jesus was betrayed. Imagine the weight that he was feeling at that moment. All we have to do is read scripture and to see how heavy his heart was. And he cried out to his heavenly Father and said, if there's another way, take this off of me. But then we know he said, not my will, but your will be done. And in faithful, humble obedience like a servant, he died on our behalf. He went to the cross to die in order that we might have life. And so that night as he sat with the disciples for the one last meal here on earth, he took the bread and broke it. And he gave thanks and he said to them, this bread is my body, which we know in a few days from that moment, in a few hours from that moment, would be nailed to the cross. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. And then knowing that they would continue to observe this meal without him for generations and for us here today, he says, whenever you do so, when you eat and drink, do so in remembrance of me, remembering what I did for you on the cross. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he blessed it and poured it out and said, this cup is my blood, which will be shed for you. It'll bring forth the new covenant that you now will live and walk by faith filled with grace, not weighed down and burdened by shame and guilt from your sin. All of you who put your faith in me as your Lord and Savior, Jesus says, come and drink of it. And so, at this time, I'd like for us to now just pray that God would do that, would intervene and meet us at the foot of the cross at this table. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, for that amazing, wonderful gift. Thank you, Lord, that our faith, our hope in eternity is not based upon our works and what we do, but upon what your Son did and the work he did on our behalf, fully displaying your grace in our time of need. And so, Lord, now bring us to your throne of grace with humble and sincere hearts, that we might receive again your grace, your goodness, that heaven would indeed intersect with earth, and that what is done here is sealed in heaven, that these elements would be taken from this common, ordinary bread and juice, but would do something that transforms us from within, that continues to allow Christ to be formed in us, to bear the fruit that you desire, that eternal, everlasting fruit. For we pray and give you the thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. I invite the ushers to come forward as the elders and deacons find their place up here, and the ushers will dismiss you row by row. together for our prayer of thanksgiving and the benediction. Lord God, we do give thanks to you for this meal, but we are thankful that we will also share this meal with you and your kingdom. And so, Lord, continue to now fill us with your grace, give to us your strength, redeem us, restore us, revive us today as we go forward to run this race that you have set before us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he turn his countenance towards you and give you strength and peace and joy, all that you need to run this race in this world while you wait upon your Lord. Amen.
Dinner.